Life is all about endings and beginnings. Some of them can be planned, and others are a shock that will take us just a long time to recover from. This Shabbat is about endings. As we conclude the book of Leviticus with a double portion, Bahar Bechukotai, and I have my own chapter ending this weekend with my retirement gala celebration, an end to my 32 years here at TBS. God always sends me messages in the Torah. And it did not escape me that this week's Torah portion, Bahar, is the 32nd portion in the weekly cycle. It is also the shortest portion of Leviticus, which means that God has a sense of humor. If we go back to the beginning of Leviticus, as I did a few weeks ago when I began to prepare, we discover that phrase that comes over and over again. You know when I say to the bar mitzvah child, how does your portion begin? And they say, Vayedaber Adonai El Moshe L'Emor. Well, there's a lot of that in this portion. And sometimes Aaron gets thrown in. The Lord speaks to Moses saying. And where does Moses share God's words in most of the portion? We are told, Be'ohel Mo'ed, in the tent of meeting. The place where Moses dwelled and spoke to God. And if you look in your Torah commentary, you'll see there's a square for the tent of meeting, and then all the tribes of Israel surround the square. For all the book of Leviticus up until this week, Moses is in the wilderness with his people, in the midst of his people, on firm ground. But then the Levitical document changes. We know it's an edited text, or some of us do. And it concludes with a change of venue. For the end of the book, Moses is receiving the word of God, Bahar Sinai, on Mount Sinai. The rabbis have many explanations for this change of venue. Their favorite is Ein Mukdam ve'Ein Mukhar ba'Torah. There's no early or late in the Torah. Don't take it seriously. God can move around. The Torah is that kind of a document. But the move to the mountain this Shabbat was a profound revelation for me. I have spent 32 years of my life in the tent of meeting with you, my beloved congregation. And truth be told, we've had our fair share of meetings. If you've ever been in a meeting with me, raise your hand. Well, take a look, it's the whole congregation. But now, as I complete my time here in this amazing tent that we have created together, the mountain beckons me. The mountain takes me back to my past, and it foreshadows the future. As in retirement, I will be encountering God and Torah in a new place for me, as an individual, by myself. The mountain offers a perspective one cannot attain when you are occupied in the day-to-day of tent life. On this Shabbat, when our portion teaches us about the need for sabbatical time, the mountain offers us sabbatical space from which to gain perspective. So when I opened the Torah to study this portion, one word, just one word spoke to me. Gary's disappointed. Bechukotai was his bar mitzvah portion. He asked me if I was preaching on Bechukotai. I said no. Just one word spoke to me. It jumped off the page. Bahar, on the mountain. It grabbed me. That one word transported me immediately to Mount Sinai, where my sacred journey to this bima began in so many ways. Bahar Sinai. I was 16 years old, and I woke up in the middle of the night, I think about 2 o'clock in the morning, to climb that mountain in Sinai. It was during my high school year in Israel. That year changed my life forever, as every single day from Beit Sefer Kaduri in the beautiful Galilee, I looked up at a different mountain, Har Tabor. Mount Tabor, every morning from my bedroom. Most of all, those mountains that I climbed when I was 16 gave me my adopted Israeli family, most of whom are here tonight. And that adoption changed my life. Changed my life for the better, and still blesses my life every single day. You are my family. Shechterim po v'shechterim sham. You are my I got a kiss from the back. You are my family. God sent me to you, Bahar, at the foot of a big and beautiful mountain. And I love you all more than words can say. It was in that year that I climbed another mountain, Masada, holding my friend Mahmoud's hand. And I decided that I would go off and study Arabic in the Middle East to try to see how Jews and Arabs could dwell together peacefully. That mountain changed my life, because the decision to study Arabic sent me to Princeton University, where I met my rabbi, Eddie Feld, the man who inspired me to pursue the rabbinate, as he has inspired so many people, thanks to that mountain. And Princeton is where I took an introduction to Judaism class, where I learned all the things they didn't teach me in Hebrew school. And at the end of one of my papers, my professor, who was a Hebrew Union College dropout, wrote, "You're a Reformed Jew. Look into it." Yes, I did. It was there at Princeton that I studied Christianity, which eventually led to my teaching at the Virginia Theological Episcopal Seminary, where my best student became one of my best friends. And Connie is here tonight. That mountain, as you can see, changed my life. It bound me to Eretz Yisrael, her land and people, and it nourished my desire to serve both. I close my eyes, and I can see the sun rise from Sinai, even as the sun is setting on my career here in Fairfax Station. You've all had a moment like that, haven't you? Where you look back and say, if it wasn't for that one turn or climb or decision, your life would be so different than it is today. Or that's the life you have because you made that decision. You might be sitting next to that decision. This Shabbat, the Torah portion said, go up to the mountain, Amy, and look out on where you have come from so you'll know where you are going. So from the mountain tonight, I look back on my time being a rabbi, the rabbi who just loves to dress up to make an idea memorable. So I have invited a few friends from my collection to help me. At the end of putting them all out this morning, I counted there are 36 talitot on the bima here with me for my 36 years in the rabbinate. It was just a coincidence. Why so many? Okay, I know some of you are saying she likes to shop. That's not true. I like to support Israeli artists. I like to support causes like Lifeline for the Old, Yad LaKashish in Jerusalem. And when I gave up wearing the robe a few years ago, I needed things that matched my outfits. But truth be told, you know I love a talit. I tell every bar about mitzvah child that you're wrapping yourself in the whole Torah, and it's true. There's nothing that gives me more comfort than being wrapped in a talit. And how many of you have come into my office for healing? Or I've wrapped you in one. So let's take a little talit journey. I went to Camp Ramah for 4 years. I did a lot of drama. I prayed every single day. I kept kosher for the first time in forever. And that summer after my bat mitzvah, we learned to make talitot, but we were told we were not allowed to wear them. I made this talit, but it wasn't originally for me. It was for a male member of my family who wouldn't wear it because it was light blue. I think I have only worn it once when I read my Torah portion here on this bima for the anniversary of my bat mitzvah, because I was never allowed to read the Torah at my bat mitzvah. I have kept this talit all these years as a painful reminder of my yentl days, where I could only read the Torah or roll it in secret, and yearned as a little girl to be downstairs with the men and get out of that hot balcony. And then came my dear friend, Rabbi Sally Priesand, who changed the world for me. I am so grateful to you, Sally, for all you did and continue to do to give Jewish women our voice and our rightful place. And I am even more proud and honored to call you my friend, as well as my role model. I would not be standing here tonight without you. And standing here with you means the world to me. Wearing the talit was a rite of passage for me. It was something I had always wanted to do. I played with everybody's tzitzit when I was a little girl at temple. I was just fascinated by them. And so when I was a rabbinic student, I went to a Judaica shop in Massapequa, New York. And I said to the man behind the counter, I need a talit. And he said, for who? And I said, for me. And he said, we don't make talitot for women. He said, but I have one I haven't been able to sell. It's purple. And I said, perfect. And so this talit became my rabbinical school talit. I wore it every single day for tefillah, to pray, and I wore it in my student congregation at every single service. I even needlepointed a talit bag to match. It's the only one I've ever needlepointed. It was a privilege to wear this purple talit, but it was hot because it's wool, and I learned the hot way that wool is not the best choice for a talit when you're the student rabbi in Sag Harbor, New York in the summer. But my purple talit I still love. And this is the talit I was ordained in at Temple Emmanuel in New York on a brutally hot day on May 30th, 1982, when Rabbi Stanley Dreyfus came down and said, excuse me, men and women, take off your clothes. You're getting ordained in your underwear. Bet you didn't know I got ordained in my underwear. We had our robes on. Temple Emmanuel is not air conditioned. We had to wear the talitot. It was so brutally hot. And this talit reminds me of that day. It takes me back to that moment. It became a B'nai Shalom, my funeral talit, for many years. I didn't like to mix joyous occasions and sad ones. I even had Cindy Luby make me a talit that says Ve'ahavta on it, just for weddings. But I very often will pick special people and give a talit to somebody I care about, passing on not just the talit, but the energy and the love with it. So this talit is now Rabbi Rappaport's, as I gave it to her for funerals here at B'nai Shalom a year or more ago, before I even knew I was going to retire. And she loaned it to me for tonight's sermon. This is the talit you all gave me for my 10th anniversary in the rabbinate. Crafted by the artist Shirley Waxman, it says, Eitz Chaim Hi, it is a tree of life, the theme of our building, the same theme that's on our ark. And it has four corners, and the four corners have both my son's names, Gary and I share a corner, and the TBS old logo, the old wolf, is in this corner. I've worn this tallied out so much the dry cleaner won't clean it, and we've had to replace the tzitzit multiple times. I thank my boys who are in these corners for being with me along this journey. You were my backup group and my sermon partners for so many years. Jonah's first sermon, I love you forever, I like you for always, he was 5. And then now you've gone into this new role of critiquing sermons. It's kind of good that I'm retiring. The critique gets tougher and tougher as they get older and older. But you are all my tree of life. And this tallit will remind me of those early years when TBS was at our house. The Torah lived at our house, and it's so great to be able to tell your children, behave, the Torah's in the other room. And then for my 20th anniversary with the congregation, you gave me this wonderful tallit, which is filled with all the values. Oh, it was so much work for me. You asked me to outline all the values of my rabbinate. V'shinantam levanecha, and you shall teach your children the cornerstone of my rabbinate. Ve'ahavta, and you shall love tzedek, justice, and tzedakah. Torah and avodah, service and prayer, tikkun olam, repairing the world, gemilut chasadim. My students in bar mitzvah class know that's one of my favorites, acts of loving kindness. V'yerastich li le'olam, I am going to be married to you forever, is on this tallit. Shalom bayit, peace in the home. Hoda'ah, thanksgiving, even before Rabbi Rappaport made it something we all really understand. And ahavat Yisrael, love for Israel. And speaking of love for Israel, I have 4 Women of the Wall tallitot. This was my first. I have 2 others here, the gold and the silver. You can have these tallitot too. Go to Women of the Wall. My newest tallit of Women of the Wall is at the house in Los Angeles, because you should always have a Women of the Wall tallit wherever you go. This tallit is symbolic of the centrality of Israel in my life and my devotion to Anat Hoffman's vision of Israel. Anat is a visionary. She has been here many times, as many of you know. She's the visionary of Iraq and Women of the Wall, and she speaks truth to the people of Israel. And when I wear this tallit, I wear it knowing that I have to live up to your standards. And I share this passion with my fellow members of the HUC Board of Governors. I am so honored that Carol Sterling, the president of the World Union for Progressive Judaism, and Liz Dunst, chair of the Reform Movement's Commission on Social Action, are here tonight. Tonight, they're here as my fellow board members. Your friendship and your leadership in the movement is as legendary as your philanthropy, and I am honored to wear my tallit with you wherever we are praying around the globe. And this is the tallit I bought years ago at the CCAR convention. And it's the one my grandchildren like the most. It's kosher. It was made by an Orthodox tallit maker. And it has Mickey Mouse all over it. I made Mickey Mouse Jewish. I made Buzz Lightyear Jewish. I made Woody Jewish, and the Rob in the Hat, and Dory, and Nemo, and Elsa from Frozen. And if you don't believe me, look in the hallway at all the pictures. This tallit reminds me that I really tried to reinvent the rabbinate to be fun, not just serious. My grandchildren can't wait to play with all my costumes now that I won't need them for work anymore. We're almost done. This is the tallit I made for our first 4th of July in this building. It's the only one I actually made. I went over to whatever was over in Rolling Valley Mall before Joanne's Fabric. And I found this July 4th fabric, And I made this tallit, and I swore I would never make another one again. You can't really get use out of a July 4th tallit except once out of the year. But since July 4th is my anniversary, this is my anniversary tallit. But what this tallit reminds me of is the fact that I'm a proud American Jew, and I'm a proud Jewish Virginian. And as I sit atop my Virginia mountain tonight, I can't believe that I've been serving our congregation longer than any other rabbi in the Commonwealth, and I can't believe I am that old. And this is the tallit that Risa Morris made for me with Air Force fabric, which I wear proudly, which I have worn for military retirement ceremonies that have filled me with such joy, and for military funerals, which have filled me with so much sorrow. It has been an honor to serve the brave men and women and their families all these decades. And every time I wear this, Risa, I think of you. I wore it to a Navy event and they weren't really happy with the fabric. I have worn many of the tallitot on this bima to your simchas, bar and bat mitzvahs, weddings, milestones. And you know that not only do I wrap myself in the Torah when I put a tallit around my shoulders, I link heaven and earth, and I'm linked to you. So I can put on my tallit, and I can pray for you wherever I am, even if we don't see each other. You'll know that when I'm wearing my tallit, my prayers are for you. And I can link heaven and earth during the Kaddish with just holding on to the tzitzit. And tonight, I need that more than ever. With the tzitzit in my fingers, I feel so grateful. So grateful for all of you, for good and caring and loving friendships and family, for this blessed life. I feel so grateful for every day. Now, I am not special or unique in this retirement journey, just getting older every minute. What makes my retirement matter publicly is that I have been living in the tent of meeting, surrounded by your tents for so long that your story and my story have become one. Like Moses, every time I poked my head out of the tent, you were there. Wasn't much privacy over the last 32 years, but I wouldn't have had it any other way. I'm not the only one who can have a Sinai moment. Your lives all have those moments too. Look for them, and there's the potential for more of those moments to come. Our Torah portion teaches us to look beyond the laws and the rituals, to change the venue at the end of a chapter of our lives so that we can see and hear and feel in a new way. Just one word, mountain, can change your perspective. And just one change can transform your life. And in so many ways, being called Savta is the change that has transformed my life forever. Thank you for procreating. I wish all of you Sinai moments of meaning, moments when you have time to think and reflect and make important life decisions. I made my decision to retire looking out at the water in French Polynesia a year ago. It became so clear. I was praying. It was a moment I was praying without a talus, actually. And the decision was made. Gary came back to the cabin, and I said, I'm retiring. And he said, okay. On that trip, we met our friends, Peter and Mary Lou, and they're here tonight. Your life can change in a minute. Change is not bad. Change is an opportunity. Find your mountain. Find your moment. Shabbat Shalom.